There is an endless sea of podcasts about entrepreneurship. Talking about it, but not living it. We live it every day. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel, talking about real estate investing, but also encompassing general subjects in regards to owning small to medium-sized businesses, and of course, all the struggles that business owners must overcome to be successful. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, and this is Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den with your hosts, Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. We are in beautiful Zihuatanejo, Mexico, celebrating our 40th birthdays here. And also, we'll be shooting our 50th episode here inside the Wolf's Den. So super excited about that. It's another milestone here. And we actually have our best friends, Aaron and Gina Plante, here as our special guest today. And so just a little bit about Aaron and Gina. Aaron and Gina are close personal friends of ours and people we admire and respect. They have a great marriage, leaders in their community, raising two beautiful children and great business minds. From school teachers to home builders to urgent care business owners to selling that business and putting the funds in luxury Airbnb homes under served areas. They have a wealth of knowledge and experience, and we cannot wait to hear more about their story. Aaron and Gina, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is awesome because we're celebrating, but also I think it's a milestone episode for us. So we're excited, and we think you guys have such an amazing story that, and I know you guys, you know, keep things personal, and this is not probably something you do every day, but we appreciate it. And I think you guys got a lot to value to add to our listeners, and I think your story is incredible. And
absolutely.
So I think
thanks. Yeah, I mean, all joking aside, I know we've been joking around, but all joking aside, I really do appreciate the fact that you guys thought enough of our story to have us do this. Seriously,
awesome. Would you mind starting maybe with just sharing with us what your story, your background, where you guys started? I know maybe start from school teachers.
Or, okay,
yeah,
sure. Great,
yeah.
So Gina and I met at Lamar University in Beaumont. I was actually a lab assistant, and that's how we met. So I won't go through that long story, but we dated there and ended up getting married. Both have geology backgrounds. So we both went into teaching right after we graduated and started out there. We wanted to build a house. So the kind of how we got started in real estate is we wanted to build a house. We weren't making a whole lot of money at the time, but we had a big idea of the house we wanted.
Yeah.
So we met with a designer. We had the house plans drawn. And correct me if I'm wrong on the numbers here, but we got our first bid for the house. And this was in 1998. Mm-hmm. So, which was a lot then. Mm-hmm. And it was about $200,000 to build this house. We were on 7 or 8 acres of land, and the land was about $25,000. We didn't have any money. We didn't have any savings. And wow. We had nothing. Mm-hmm. We were just starting out. So we we had good credits. The one thing we had
good credit.
Great credit. And so we kept getting offers in the mail, you know, the credit card check offers.
Yeah.
And so we took a couple of those checks and bought our land with it. We had a $20,000 credit card check. Yeah. I think the land was somewhere along in there. So then we owned the land free and clear. Went to build the house, got bids. It was too expensive. So I told Gina, I said, you know, I think I can do this. I think I can do this myself and save the money. The way that I got that idea is because we ran into a guy when we were looking at houses who would later become my business partner, but he was a loan officer. Mm. And he told me, he said, just build it yourself. You know, mm-hmm. save the money, build it yourself. You can afford it if you build it yourself. So I thought about it and I told her, I think I can do it. So I rode around different projects around town with a notebook, taking pictures, taking notes, getting business cards, and sort of made a recipe for building a house, mm-hmm. building a house from start to finish. I had this recipe book. And so I went back to my loan officer.
It's like baking a cake.
Yeah. Really.
Cookie cutter.
It really is. It's not that difficult.
Yeah.
And so I went to him and I said, hey, I think I can do it. And he said, well, great. You just need a builder of record, someone to sign off. Let me know if I'm going in the weeds too much.
No.
And he said, do you have someone who would sign off as your builder? Well, I didn't know he meant a real builder.
Yeah.
I just thought like, he meant someone who could sign off. Yeah. And I said, sure. I said, Gina's dad, my father-in-law would sign off. He's a great guy. Yeah. He trusts me. He believes in me. And he said, oh, great. Well, he thought that her dad was a builder. And I didn't know that he needed a real builder. So there was nothing dishonest about that transaction or conversation. So her dad agrees to it. I don't know why, but he did. So he goes to the bank and he signs off as the builder. And so I built that house. That was our first house. And we sold that house to our neighbor, right?
The minute we put a for sale sign out, they said, I had no idea you were going to sell. And they wanted it. Mm. Wow.
So we made more money on that house than we made combined teaching in how many years? You know, we did really well on that house.
We profited $100,000.
Wow. And at the time, we were making $30,000 a year.
22.
Okay. 22. Wow. And so we made $100,000 on the first house. So we're like, wow, this is easy. You know, and we didn't know everyone wouldn't like that. Yeah. But anyway, so we sold that and then we built another one. And at that time, we're still in teaching. I go back to school to get a master's in administration to become a principal because I knew I needed to make more money to support my family. And so I wanted to move up and become a superintendent in the education system. And while I'm doing that, I'll never forget where I was. Our daughter was just born. She was probably one. I was pushing her in the buggy at Sam's Club. And the loan officer calls me, who I'd used before. And he says, hey, I've got a great business idea. He said, you know what you did as far as building your own house? He said, we need to package that up and teach people how to build their own houses. He said, I have someone right now that's willing to do it. They're willing to pay you to just tell them what you did. And so I said, well, what do I have to do? He said, you just have to be available, talk to them, and sign off as the builder. He said, you've got some building experience now. I think I can get you approved with the bank. And I said, great. I said, how much? You know, what am I going to get paid for something like this? And he said, well, this one's a little low, but he said, I think we can do $9,000 on this one. $9,000? Again, I'm making 30, not 000, much. Yeah. And $9,000 for my signature and just telling somebody how to do what I know how to do? Yeah, let's do it. So we did that one. I was still teaching. I was still working on my master's. We did that one. We started doing a few of those. And started doing really well. And so by that time, I had became an assistant principal at another school. Mm-hmm. And then he called me one day I was at work. And he says, you know, I think you need to leave teaching and let's do this full time. So, that was tough because we had another baby on the way. And
but you're probably making more than.
Yeah.
I was. Yeah, making that next step, though, to, you know, leave your job that's scary.
And he convinced me to do it. He said, you can always go back to teaching. Every school year they need more teachers. Mm-hmm. You know? And I said, you know what, you're right, I'll try for a year. So I left and never looked back. I never went back to education. That's how I got my start in real estate, so to speak.
Wow,
right?
What an amazing story. So how did you get into building, and then you went into the emergency room business?
Okay, so we went in from, you know, building a couple houses for ourselves and teaching others how to build. And then I went into development, started helping develop a few neighborhoods in our area, building custom homes for people. Did that all the way up until 06, 07, and the housing crisis started to hit. You know, it hit California first, hit Florida, hit Nevada. You could see the dominoes falling all over the country. And I told her, I said, we need to do something else. It's going to hit here. It hadn't hit our area at the time because oil and gas was still strong. I said, but it's coming. We need to rethink. We need to retool, so to speak. And so our daughter had an accident. She was on the bar at our house and fell off and hit her head. And we went looking for an urgent care center. There's no urgent care center in Beaumont at the time.
Yeah. Wow.
And there was only, they called it minor care. So we went to the minor care. It was a terrible experience, long wait, $2,000 bill. She was fine. You know, it was just, so we immediately saw a need for an urgent care center in our area. They were popping up everywhere else, but there wasn't one in our area. So maybe this is the new avenue. So All right, well, we don't know anything about the urgent care business, but I didn't know anything about the home building business. Make it till you make it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just create another cookbook or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Another recipe book. You're exactly right. It's really that simple. If you want to change careers or you want to do something, just go find your recipe book. Anyway, so we found it. We started searching online. There was this new company called Doctors Express. It was a franchise. Well, we had never done franchise stuff before, but I thought, you know, they have the recipe book. Mm-hmm. They have the, they've done it. They know how to do it. So we were the second franchisee to join, I think, second or third,
but we might've been one of the first to actually
open. We were the second one to open, but I think we were the second or third to join. Anyway, so we joined. Come to find out, they really didn't know what they were doing either in the beginning.
You were creating that recipe. He created that recipe book for them as well.
Yeah. But they knew a lot more than I did. And so, but together, it was a really back and forth relationship. Met some really good people there who we're still friends with now, who are still in that business. And there was a couple in particular, two people in particular, that really sort of took us by the hand and led us through there. Kathleen and Andrea.
So going back a little bit, so what you said, because I think there's a lot of people that maybe are teachers or work for corporate company. What's the mindset or what did you guys have to do, the comfort level from you to leave very stable, secure jobs to, was it just, it created enough income at the time where it made sense? But I mean, you guys were walking away from retirement, pensions. And
What do you think? Go ahead, Jan.
Well, no. I think for me is that I just believed in you. I always knew that you would make really good decisions. And you always knew you can't. You always just had that I can do it attitude. You always did.
Right. So, that's what I was going to say. You just have to believe that you can do it. And you have to not be scared of failure. You have to believe you can do it and make good decisions, too. I mean, you can't just go out blindly.
Right.
You know, going back to home building. Go tour projects. We'll talk to people. Go meet people, and then take all that information and make a decision.
Right.
And so, if you have all that good information, then that decision is going to feel good, or it's not going to feel good. If it felt good, then we'd go for it. If it didn't feel good, then we didn't. Like Doctors Express, we met with them. We gathered all the information, and we just knew, like, yeah, this is it. I mean, we know this will work.
Right.
But we didn't just, you know, read some ad on the internet and send them 50 grand. We did our research.
Right.
We also had to pay for that out of pocket. I mean, we thank goodness had saved up, you know, to that point. And our very first paychecks, we had to borrow money from his mother because our SBA loan hadn't come through yet. And we were back down to zero at that point.
But I'll tell you the interesting sort of foundation to our story. And it's probably the foundation to most success stories. And I'm not saying we're just ultra successful, but we've made it as far in our little world. But the foundation, and I can't tell young people this enough, is good credit. It all starts with good credit. And we both, our parents instilled that in both of us, luckily, from day one. And we just always maintained our credit. I mean, my dad took me down when I was 16 years old to get a little 90-day $300 loan from the bank. We took it, put it in the safe, and then paid $323 back in 90 days, you know, just to establish credit. So that was key.
I think the other big takeaways was, like you said, Gina, because we talk about it a lot in this podcast, but the your guys' relationship and the support and you guys support each other very well.
And that's what I really admire about you, Gina, is that, you know, it takes two of you guys, you know, to make this decision, and you supporting Aaron, you know, and jumping right in with him says a lot, which we talk about that on our podcast a lot. So,
yeah, we never, that's exactly right. I knew she was behind me 100% because I knew she believed
she
in
believed
me.
In you. Yeah.
And so I knew that if I made the right decision, even the wrong decision, she was going to be behind me.
And you had the confidence to push through because you know that your spouse is behind you.
The other big takeaway though is that you guys also, there's so many people that try to get all their ducks in a row before they ever start.
Right.
And guess what? They never start anything in life. And like you guys just like
jumped in.
Yeah. I mean, you weren't calculated and there's some calculated risk there, but you investigated it, you researched it, and then you took action and did it. Because I mean, you didn't know how to build houses, and you guys weren't doctors, so it wasn't like most ER are started by doctors, and so are urgent care facilities.
So a funny side to that is years later, the guy that I went into business with, the loan officer who gave me my first loan to build a house, he was talking about, I asked how my father-in-law was doing home building or whatever. I said, what? He's not a home builder. And he said, you mean he's not a home builder? I said, no, you just said I needed someone to sign off.
Yeah.
He said, oh, I thought he was a home builder this whole time. So we kind of got lucky on that deal.
Yeah.
And then how did you?
So you built houses, the emergency room, and then you sold that successful business, right?
Yeah. So, we had operated that business for about, I don't know, 3 or 4 years.
4 years.
Mm-hmm. And
three years whenever we started.
We weren't really looking to sell.
Right.
But someone came along, another franchisee who had some other locations in Houston. And he wanted it. And so we started putting a value on it. We thought, I think if we sold this, we got this much money at this point in our lives that we could grow that. We have, a runway ahead of us. And, it would be sort of our stepping stone to be able to do stuff like this.
Yeah. And also give you your lifestyle back too, right? With spending more time with your family. That's something that you really wanted. Yeah.
We were open 7 days a week and
8 to 8, mm-hmm. 7 days a week.
It was a lot with the tough age kids we had. So
managing employees was tough. And so we took that money and decided, we kind of thought, well, what can we do that we can enjoy ourselves, that will generate income?
Yes.
And I've seen people describe it as lifestyle assets online. So I guess that's kind of, we didn't know we were doing lifestyle assets, but I guess that's kind of what we decided to do. So we started building houses using my background in home building, started building houses in places we like to go. And so we thought, well, if we can go down to the beach, Galveston County, and hang out and get paid for it,
why not?
That would be great. So I mean, we can't be there all the time, but we can go enjoy it when we're not there and rent it. But we knew we needed to set ourselves apart from everyone else, so we started trying to fill a niche. So we went into large group houses that hosted large groups, because there were a ton of houses for rent, but there weren't any 8-bedroom houses.
And how did you have that vision though? Because Airbnb is a hot topic, and but nobody, or not, I can't say nobody, but there's
not very many people were doing it when
the way you went.
So my deal was just, we had to have something that no one else had. And so all of our properties, with the exception of New Orleans, and that's kind of a different animal, they're a waterfront. Because, waterfront is just the draw.
Or riverfront.
Yeah.
Or river. Some body of water.
Yeah, they're on the water.
Yeah.
And so that's immediately a draw. That typically the value of waterfront property is always pretty stable or increasing. But we knew we needed to set ourselves apart. And the more people you can sleep in Airbnbs, the better you're going to do. Because that's kind of the whole reason people do it, like we're doing here.
Right.
Yeah.
You get your friends, your family, a small wedding. You can't do that in a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house. So that's
awesome. Was it difficult to sell though and make that transition? Like, was there, Joni and I are even at a place in our lives where, we joke around, like there's days we're going to sell and like, and ready to make that, but I would have an extremely hard time making that decision to sell it off. It'd be tough.
I don't think it was a tough decision. Yeah. But we had a plan. We knew what we were going to do. We knew the security, the lump sum could provide us for our future. Yeah. So
do you have any regrets with any of that?
Some days, sometimes.
Our urgent care business continued to prosper. The team really stayed in place. He had built such a good team that they stayed together. And watching that business continue to grow and prosper was hard. It was a little hard.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I left some money on the table
By
selling early. But at the time, we were happy. And I'm not saying we regret it. I'm just saying some days seeing that business grow and be successful is tough.
But you you can also look and say that that was because of you guys and what you had built in there. That it,
right.
It,
and then since then, we sold at the right time. The competition in our town has just boomed. So, you know, we sold at the right time, I think. But no regrets. I mean, just sometimes looking back, maybe should have waited a little longer. But overall, no regrets.
Mm-hmm. Are all your Airbnbs new construction, or did you have?
No. So all the ones other than New Orleans. So we have Galveston County, Lake Sam Rayburn. Those were new constructions. And then
the river
out at Canyon Lake. We're directly across from Whitewater Amphitheater on the horseshoe loop of the Guadalupe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
New construction. And then we have room to expand there. We have room to expand at the beach. And then we went into the New Orleans market because we like New Orleans.
Right.
Yeah.
So our first purchase there was a 3-bedroom condo. And it did really well because there aren't many 3-bedroom properties in New Orleans. It did really well. Well, the one next door came up for sale. It's a 2-bedroom. So I bought it so we could essentially have a 5-bedroom
to keep with your whole, because a 5-bedroom in New Orleans.
That's big in New Orleans. So I called the guy 2 doors down and said, hey, do you want to sell? And he said, no, he wasn't interested in selling. Well, a year later, he called me, hey, I think I'm going to sell. So he picked up that one. So we have 3 right there together, and it's another 2-bedroom. So we have 6 bedrooms together in New Orleans. I mean, 1 block off Bourbon Street.
Mm-hmm.
That's a niche.
Yeah.
So another 3-bedroom came up for sale in that building a year or so ago. And we picked that one up as well. So now, and it's adjacent.
Yeah.
So now we have another 3-bedroom set all right there together.
That's
awesome.
So then another building about 3 blocks away came up with 2 2-bedrooms side by side. So we picked those up. Mm-hmm. So we have 4 bedrooms together there. So that's the key in New Orleans. A 2-bedroom condo in New Orleans, a dime a dozen, really.
Right.
But a 4-bedroom, because we link them together, you know, is
hard to beat.
Yeah. It's hard to beat.
Yeah, they can't, can't find it anywhere. So it's it is a good niche.
And New Orleans is all year long. You know, the lake, the beach, the river is seasonal.
Right.
New Orleans is all year long, of course, till COVID hit.
Yeah. Let's talk about that a little bit. I know that your area, your properties are desirable. They're always leased out. How did you weather through COVID times?
So, and Gina, you can hop in here and only overtake the conversation. Well. It was tough, honestly. COVID really hit us hard in New Orleans. New Orleans was our number one performing area. I mean, those condos over there did really well. And it went from, you know, 80 to 8. I mean, it went to nothing.
Zero.
Went to zero, like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was tough. The other properties went to zero too in the beginning because everyone was locked down. Nobody did anything. And then finally, as summer started rolling around, those properties started picking back up. Since then, they've done better than ever before.
Mm-hmm.
So they made up for New Orleans a little bit, but we're heavily, you know, we're probably have too many. We have 6 in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
So 60% of our 10 house portfolios.
Yeah, which is a great point of why you should diversify into different markets, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, people started doing staycations.
Yeah.
And that's why I think all of our waterfront properties, families were traveling. They weren't flying anywhere. They weren't doing big vacations, but they were just doing local. Yeah, they were doing entertainment locally. Mm-hmm.
The good news as of today, New Orleans is back. So go to New Orleans. It is.
Safely.
It's back. It's opening up. It's we've been booked solid for the past 4 weekends.
That's
which
awesome.
Is really great. So it's really coming back. I think by the end of the summer, it'll be in the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
What's the future hold for you guys?
You know, I don't know. Our kids are, you know, one's about to graduate high school. The other's second year, about to be second year in college. So I don't know. I hope a little more of this.
Yeah.
We actually wouldn't mind a house here in Mexico.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So probably just more of the same, but just keep growing a little bit. I mean, we really like what we do. It's, you know, it's a pain when someone calls and they can't, the battery's dead on the door lock or the toilet stopped up. And we have managers for most of the properties, but still we get those calls.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pain at the time, but in the grand scheme of things,
yeah, we're sitting
it's
here.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. It's great problems to have.
Yeah.
We truly,
stuff like this.
We truly admire you guys. You guys are great. something I want to ask Aaron. So if we had an investor maybe that's starting out, what advice would you give them?
Golly, other than, I mean, credit, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't do anything without someone giving you a shot, thinking that you'll pay them back. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's the number one key is credit. There's lots of ways to get credit, but that's probably the number one key. But if someone was wanting to invest, you know, in like what we do, mm-hmm. Airbnb type stuff, is you have to find something that not many people are doing. So you have to identify the little niche, because as you know, Airbnb, right. vacation rentals has exploded. Mm-hmm. Now everyone's doing it. So you just have to find something that is underserved.
Yeah.
You know, big, mm-hmm. sleeps more people on this particular stretch of right. the lake or something like that.
Are you guys concerned about any like government intervention in your?
So it is, it's something that we worry about. Yeah. So a lot of that stuff has already taken place. Like New Orleans, for example, they went through a massive overhaul of their regulations. I think they're in a good spot now. They say they are. City Council says they're in a good spot. Yeah. They're happy. Luckily, we were grandfathered in.
But being aware of those laws was very important. It's very, made some quick decisions to put us in mm-hmm. a good place.
You have to be aware of those, and you have to structure your business. You know, you can't just go buy a house, for example. Like our homes in New Orleans are owned in LLCs. Mm-hmm. The LLCs owns the license.
Right.
So that's very, very important in a market like New Orleans that says you can't transfer licenses. Uh-huh. So if you buy a house for me, I can't transfer you the license, but you could buy my LLC, yeah. which right. owns the license.
Gotcha.
Oh. That makes, to me, that created a great opportunity
yeah.
for you guys.
Yeah, sure.
Because you guys are
down the road. It'll
it's like having a liquor license.
Almost. Absolutely. Yeah.
So there's things like that, but Texas is a really good place to own Airbnbs, because Texas is a huge private property rights state. Mm. There's been some Airbnb cases that have gone to the Texas Supreme Court, mm-hmm. and the homeowner has won. So the state has really limited the rights of the cities and HOAs to outlaw Airbnbs.
Nice.
So, I mean, it can still be done. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. The HOAs can put some restrictions in there, but the state's made them jump through some hoops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome. Rightly so, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I don't think that there should be a party Airbnb house in a family neighborhood. I'm not saying that at all. But, you know, in our situation, one of our homes, for example, we're kind of off to ourselves. There's no close neighbors. Our neighbor does rent Airbnbs. Mm-hmm. Airbnbs are legal in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. But yet some neighbors half a mile down the road still have a problem with what we do.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, this is... I bought this. I earned this. This right. is my property. I'm not telling you what to do mm-hmm. on your property.
Yeah.
So, and Texas is pretty supportive of that okay. point of view.
Yeah.
That's great.
In my opinion.
And Gina, for you, I mean, being a, you know, supportive wife and a mother, and what advice would you give to wives out there that maybe, you know, maybe their husbands are wanting to venture out and do buy property or, you know, be an entrepreneur? What advice would you give?
How do you support a crazy guy like that?
Well, no, I like that we get to travel together a lot. So supporting him is definitely in my favor. Yeah. It's been, it's been a really good life ever since we started doing this. So being, especially that he has places in all the places we like. So the way we've done it, it created our kind of lifestyle, and we didn't even know we were doing it so
well, that's pretty awesome. When you send pictures, I'm like, dang, where's Aaron and Gina now? Having fun somewhere and making money.
Right, that's probably good advice to a young investor. Invest in places you like to be, mm-hmm. and it's not work.
And you guys, two beautiful kids, so I know, raising a good family. And how do you, is it a struggle ever, like work-life balance? Or is that ever?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just like everybody.
I don't think you ever get that straight, though, right?
Yeah, it's a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And working from home has been, I think our kids really don't understand an 8-to-5 job. Yeah. they've seen us work from home and travel, and they have us, you know, anytime they need us. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it's been good in that way, but yet... the structure. They really haven't seen a normal schedule or a normal, you know, they hadn't really seen that type of,
which can be a positive and negative, right? Because then you can open their eyes that, hey, there's, it's not just like the teacher route you guys originally took, like going to school, getting
a good job and,
you know, and then work 40 years or whatever, retire, that, hey, you can do something great if you got to work hard.
They never saw us work for anyone.
Yeah.
In their lives, they've never seen
and
that.
And that's a little unfortunate, I think, sometimes, that they never saw that. But we want them to do that because we think that that really helped mold our decisions and who we became. Because, you know, when someone else tells you you have to be here at a certain time and you have to do this, you have to do that, it you know, I mean, it puts things in perspective when you get out on your own, then you appreciate it more. I don't have to wake up to an alarm clock today if I don't want to.
Yeah,
I mean, I do most days, but
I don't you don't have to.
That's great. So, I mean, is there a way that people can connect with you or anybody if you maybe check out your Airbnbs to rent or something? Is there a way they can reach out to you?
Yeah, sure. If someone wants to email me, I can send a list of all of our listings. I don't know if we can put a link.
Yeah, we can put it all in the show notes.
So. Okay, yeah, I can send you guys the links to our listings there, as well as my email, aplanti@gmail.com.
Cool.
Gina's on Instagram. You can catch her there.
I think, I hope everybody enjoyed that because I think there's a lot of value that from school teachers to all that you got done to a very successful lifestyle kind of business. I think it's an amazing journey.
Yes.
And raising a family during that time. And I think, and then also having a healthy, successful marriage is very important to all that because it's very unique, you know, like to do what you guys have done. And so I think you guys got a lot to offer.
It's been a hell of a ride.
Yeah. So congratulations, guys. You guys are doing awesome.
Yeah, it's not over, right?
It's
just kidding. Just get started.
That's right.
So thank you for joining us. I know you guys like to keep things personal, so it meant a lot to us to do this with you guys in it. And so we thank you.
Absolutely.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
So thank you, everyone, for joining us inside the Wolf's Den. And if you like this episode, give us a like, email us if you have any questions, and we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkle. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there talking.
Talking.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.